Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We just praise you, Lord. Glory be to God. We thank you for your son who came down here to be a man and show us how to walk this walk, Lord. We praise you that you've given us the power through the Holy Spirit to do that walk. And we praise you, Lord of God, for all the things that you've given us, all the tools that you've given us to bring about the gospel and to bring about revival and to bring about all the things that are necessary to bring people into the kingdom. And Father, we just praise you and we glorify you that these things are quite evident in us. And we thank you, Father, for all the healings, the deliverances, and all the signs and wonders that are going to follow us, Father. We praise you for it. We thank you for it, Lord. We most of all thank you for your Holy Spirit that gave us that overcoming power. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, that gave us you and changed our hearts into Jesus's heart, the one that loves even the most vile, evil person, that he loves him. And I praise you, Father, for giving us his heart as well, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that you're killing us and making Jesus come alive in us. And I thank you for that, Father. Glory be to God. And I praise you, Father, for all the healings and deliverances that's going to occur. Thank you, Father, for an open heaven, because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when we pray, you answer our prayers because we believe. And I thank you for all the miracles that you've given us over the years. And I praise you, Father, for that, in Jesus' name. And the ones to come are even going to be greater than these. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, that tonight you're going to lead us, guide us into whatever it is that you want us to talk about, pray about, and whatever. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father, for all that's accomplished in each and every one here tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Lana.
Hey, I just wanted to ask for agreement in prayer. I've been rebuking and standing in faith for the little kiddos here, but we've got a lot of sniffles and coughing and some fevering and diarrhea going on amongst the kids. Just wanted to ask for agreement that the enemy has no place here, that this infirmity is gone, and that the kids Amen. Are well and strong and restored in Jesus' name. So thank you, Father, that that is already done.
Amen. Yes, Lord. We hook our faith up in Lana. We believe it is so. We command all of those spirits of infirmity and all the after effects of it go from that household right now in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father. It is done. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Thank you. Go ahead, Lana.
I forgot what else I was going to bring up. I'll come back.
Okay. You look like you're kind of busy there. All right. Anyone else? I come, Grizzly Adams. Yes, Donna, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So I have a couple things about my tooth that we were going to pray in agreement last week. Well, after I got off, I started experiencing some pain, pretty heavy pain. And it's back and forth. And it would get to the point that it was like I couldn't take it anymore. And then it would go away and then it would come back, and it was just back and forth. And now it's completely gone. Can you hear me?
Thank you, Lord. Yes, ma'am. We can.
Yes.
We're all got our arms raised and praise God for it.
Yeah, hallelujah. And then, okay. So I have another, this is kind of embarrassing, but God says to be humble, right? Okay. So I live on an acreage and it's an old house. Okay. And, the house is like back in the 1800s, but it's been redone. And anyway, so I started, you know, I was having mice problems. And so I was setting traps, on the second floor and the first floor and then the basement. And I was catching mice, and it was like, God, first of all, I'm scared to death of mice, and I've overcome that fear. And so anyway, I just prayed, and God, you know, I don't have a husband. And so I'm just asking that, you know, like David does and Michael, you know, just send the angel and, you know, stop up the holes and the cracks and whatever, wherever the mice are getting in. And so I won't have this problem, because I don't have the curse upon me. You took it upon the cross for me and us. And anyway, so, well, it's been 2 weeks and I haven't caught any mice.
Praise God. Let's go.
I totally believe that God sent the angel and blocked up the holes. So I totally believe it.
Amen. So, Lord said, amen. Command ye me.
What's that?
I said, the Lord said, command ye me.
Yep. So God is good. And I'm just continuing believing that no mice get in. Yep. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father, for Donna's complete deliverance from these mice and rats in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Nothing, no varmints whatsoever in that fine house in Jesus' name. A house you gave her, Lord.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Amen. Okay, you know what else? Yeah, Missy.
Did you all see the post I made on the outreach chat on Signal about Sense? Okay. Yep. I'd like for us to pray for him. Did anybody not see it?
I'll tell you what, dude, just pray and we'll understand what you're doing. What's going on.
Okay. Well, Father, you know the situation with that sense, Lord. He has this ability to predict earthquakes and knows a lot about it, and the government's not happy with it. And Father, you know that they've shut him down left and right for like the past 6 years. He can't get any internet service, phone service. They keep shutting him off. And they told him, the internet company told him they couldn't get him back up on until after Christmas. That's a joke. And Father, the powers that be don't like him. He must be telling truth, because they never like the truth, Father. So, Father, you just ask that you we just forbid this to continue to happen in the name of Jesus. That you put someone on his side, Lord, that will permit him to get internet service, cell phone service, and all these, even like cable TV service, I think he said, all this stuff that he's been being shut off from, Lord. We just ask you in the name of Jesus to send for someone who will advocate for him, and that he doesn't even have to fight for himself, but someone that knows what's going on. And that even someone high up that has in the government that's straightforward and honest, Lord, and that would advocate for him and shut him down from doing what they're doing to him, shutting him down. So, Father, we just praise you and thank you, Lord. And, Lord, I don't know if... I don't think he's a Christian. I may be wrong. I don't know. But Lord, I just ask you, Lord, that through this, that you draw him to yourself and grant him repentance unto salvation. And that, oh, there was something that came to mind and then I lost it. Lord, just watch over him and protect him, Lord, and his family, Lord. And we just praise you and we thank you, Lord, for this happening to him, Lord, that, Lord, for the sake of drawing him to you, Lord, let it turn unto salvation, Lord. But at the same time, Lord, we're asking you to release him from what's going on and him get all these services back. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Lord, they have shut down, they shut down his internet, his phones, his TV, all of that. But Lord, I know that you got a heaven leak. And that heaven leak, we thank you, Father, for opening it up for him in Jesus' name. Let him get the information out that you want out. And we thank you for it, Father. And I believe that that's what you're doing right now. He's opening up Dutch Sense's internet to get this at a heaven leak. We call it a heaven leak in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for him to get this message out in Jesus' name. He's off. He's had some real spot on valuable information on earthquakes and volcanoes. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Lord, if he's not saved, grant repentance to him and bring him in, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord,
anybody?
I just even ask you to supernaturally to bring it all back and that he know that it was you, Lord, and no funky new age stuff or anything, Lord, that you let him know that it was the God of heaven and earth, his creator. You stitched him together in his mother's womb and that let him know that you intimately know him, Lord, and that he would desire to know you. And I just thank you and I praise you, Lord, for turning it all back on for him and that he never lose it again. In Jesus' name, we forbid the powers that be to shut him down anymore. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You know, when I saw a picture of him, he was 180 degrees away from what I thought he would look like. I figured he'd be a 45 or 50 year old respectable looking guy, you know. Turns out he's a skinny kid with purple hair or something like that. And boy, he knows his stuff. He knows his stuff. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for saving Dutch.
Amen. I don't know what kind of education he has or what, but he's smart. He knows his stuff. I don't know if he's like self-taught in this or what. I don't know, but it's pretty amazing.
Could be God taught, you know. God did that with a lot of people that weren't saved. Yeah, Barbara.
I heard him say before years ago, his dad was a meteorologist. He learned a lot from his father.
Oh, really?
From what I heard.
Oh, okay.
Years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways, I have a small testimony, a little testimony.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. God is good. My daughter, Sarah, she was giving me a phone that she had that needed repaired. And this is an $1,100 phone, and I know that's elaborate and everything, but she gets these for the phone quality, or camera quality. Anyways, we took it to the tech place that fixes those devices, and they said it would cost $250 to get it fixed. And so, well, anyways. We left there and we ended up going to AT&T, you know, first, since that's who they have their plan with. And the guy there told Sarah she could pay off her phone, which was only $129, you know, plus tax, and she would get an $800 deductible for her defective phone. So with the $800 credit, she bought a brand new phone for me. And so I got a brand new phone for way less money, you know, rather than to pay the $250 for a refurbished phone. So I just praise God that how he orchestrated that. And that was a good testimony that he did. He showed me. So amen. Praise God.
Amen. You know how
I needed the phone. Oh, I'm learning it now.
Okay. That's a learning curve.
Yeah. It's time consuming too, which I don't like that, but she's helping me here and there. And, we're going to get together over the holidays. She'll help me more, but it's a good little phone. I needed one because my other one kept crashing and it was just messed up. But thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe. Go ahead, brother.
Morning, everybody. Please, I want a prayer of agreement for me. A couple of weeks, you pray for me for my tingling sensation in my fingers. My fingers turned dead. Now the enemy's tried it on my toes now. Yes. Just a prayer of agreement with that. Thank you.
Okay, well, in the name of Jesus, we command that demon to quit moving around, just completely leave his body right now in the name above every name, and that's the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that it is done. Joe doesn't have to put up with any more discomfort on his fingers, his toes, or anything else, his ear tips or anything else, in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that that demon is gone and that spirit of infirmity is gone. Everybody thank believe you, that? Father. Glory to God. Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? I do. I do. The other day, David and I was yesterday, day before yesterday, David and I were out cutting wood, and we had cut it in the woods out there or off the driveway, and David had gotten on the tractor. I told him, just meet me up by the driveway because I'm just going to walk straight up to the driveway. He had to go around to come out where the road was in the woods. And he told me this last night, first time he told me. He said, y'all remember when the angels fixed that right side front end on that tractor? Okay. So when he came out on the asphalt, he said the left side locked up on him. I said, what? He said, yeah. He said it locked up. He said, I rebuked it and it turned loose and come up there. When he told me, I said, well, that's a dumb devil because it wasn't the left side that was broken the last time. It was the right side. He got mixed up. And showed you right away that he was messed up. So that's, if you understand what I'm saying, the right side was the one that was messed up, not the left side. We fixed that manually on the front end. And the devil got mixed up and did the left side, and that right away, that he was trying to mess with us anyway. And I tell you something else that's really happened. He keeps messing with me. He's not messing with David, but he's messing with me on the water business. Night before last, I was in the bathroom and taking a shower and had my head soaked up. Boom, water goes out. And I start screaming at that devil, get his hands off the water. Get your hands off that water. Lord of God, get them off right now in Jesus' name, you know. Then I heard David hollering down there too. He was praying against it too. And finally the water came back up. perfect, nothing, you know, just perfect water. It immediately was warm. And then tonight I was washing dishes, or rinsing them off, putting them in the dishwasher, and the water went off again. And man, I went to screaming at him. David went to screaming at him. We just sat down and ate. It was, we were fixing to eat anyway. So we just sat down and ate. When I got up to go back in there, finish the dishes, water was on again. So we didn't worry about it. We knew it was coming back on because the devil can't, he can't steal nothing away from us. You know that, don't you? He can't steal it. He can just try. He can just do all his trying. He gets whipped every time and he's getting tired of that because they're going, they're long between times that he does it. But it's an awesome, test of your faith. So when something like that happens, don't think that you lost something. You hadn't lost anything. It's the devil trying to mess with you. All you got to do is just command him to get off of your whatever it is. And he's got to go. That devil can't stay around. Because who lives in us? Jesus. That's right. The almighty power of God lives in us. Yeah, is that Geneva?
It's me. I just wanted to praise the Lord because today I went for a walk. It was a 4-mile walk pretty much with Micah and the stroller. And when we took off, I was saying a prayer, Lord, make it a good walk. You know, that she enjoy all of it. And anyways, on our way back, it was 2 miles out, 2 miles back. When we turned around, it started to, we haven't had rain in a really long time here, and it started to kind of drizzle. And I was like, oh man, we're 2 miles away. So I was like, Lord, hold off the rain. And I was looking at the weather and that said it's supposed to start raining any minute. Well, anyways, we made it back in perfect time. As soon as we hit our yard, boom, that's when it started raining. So Lord, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. You're awesome, God. Thank you, Father. We're going to brag on you all the time, Lord. You're such an awesome God. Yeah, Missy.
I'd like to pray for Merle. He's going through a, I don't want to speak the curse on him. I want to call the things that are not as though they were, but he has intermittent sleeping problems and right now he's really going through bad. He'll come to bed and it's like he pops up. He lays there for a couple of minutes and he pops up and he comes down here in the living room and he may be up for hours before he comes to bed. And it's just tormenting spirits is what it is. I know that it is. And I don't, you know, and I've been praying about it and commanding the enemy to loose him, declaring and decreeing that all the power of the enemy is broken off of him. And
does he drink a lot of coffee?
No, he stopped. He would go to the donut shop and drink just, you know, a cup like that. And I told him he shouldn't drink caffeinated coffee, drink decaf. We have decaf here, but he stopped drinking all coffee, even decaf. And as it, that's not the problem. So, he's had this issue for years. I mean, years, like at least 20 years, at least. And I, you know, the only thing I know to do is just declare that he's delivered from all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy is broken off of him. And anyway.
Does he believe in healing?
Yeah, I prayed for him with him lots of times, you know, but.
What does he believe? That's what I'm asking.
I think sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't, to be honest with you. So. Okay.
Well, that clears it up then. Let's do it. Here's what we're going to pray. I want everybody in here to pray in the spirit while I'm praying. And we're going to break this power of sleeplessness. And Missy, you're going to tell him that we prayed this prayer for him. And he's going to start believing that God heals everything. Because God's going to do it, I believe. Well, I know he will. Okay, well, Father, we lift up Merle to you. And we thank you for him, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that he's getting pieces, bits and pieces from Missy over the years. But, Lord, I ask that you show him through this healing that we're fixing to pray for him the power of your spirit, Lord, and I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, I command this spirit of insomnia to leave him now in Jesus' name. I command it by the power and authority and the stripes of Jesus. You leave Merle now. In Jesus' name, you don't have a right there. You go right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for cleansing him of this insomnia. And we thank you, Father, he's going to get the best sleep he's ever had tonight. In Jesus' name, we declare and decree it by the power and the blood of Jesus. Merle, you're going to get an awesome night's sleep tonight. Devil, get your hands off his sleep. Right now, in Jesus' name, we bind up any attacks from the enemy from trying to wake him up tonight at all. And what's bound in on earth is bound in heaven. You're bound from affecting his sleep tonight at all. And Father, we thank you that he's going to sleep better than he's ever slept tonight. In Jesus' name. Everybody believe that? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. And I thank you, Father. This is the sign and a wonder for Merle that your healing power works for everybody. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. It's done. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Angels, get to work binding up that demon. In Jesus' amen. Name. Thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord, for giving him bold faith. In the name of Jesus, and that he will confess with his mouth before he even sees, before he even experiences it. Lord, you know, I encouraged him to confess that he's going to have a good night's sleep. And, you know, he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. You know, I told him it's important for him to confess. To speak it.
Don't make no difference tonight.
Amen.
All right. We cast down all word curses spoken against him about this in Jesus' name. Even his own.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. All right, Julie.
Well, Father, we also come against the spirits of unbelief and doubts and double-mindedness and uncertainty. And all the lies of Satan that would put doubt in his head when he goes to bed, I'm not going to be able to sleep. This is going to keep happening. And they lie to him and they put those thoughts into his mind and this fear of not being able to sleep. We command you to be gagged and bound and removed as well. Father, I thank Amen. You. When he does go to bed tonight, he's just going to be so relaxed and so at peace and so Amen. At ease because all this other torment and harassment is bound and has been removed. Yep. Thank you, Lord. He's going to feel the difference and he is going to acknowledge it before Missy, before man and angels, so that you will acknowledge him before the Father, Lord. He's going to have complete peace when he goes to bed tonight. The air is cleaned up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yep. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank it's you, done. Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? No. Okay. Anybody else? About the only thing I'd like to talk about.
Sorry, what'd you say?
Yeah, I know. I had something in my mouth, didn't I?
What?
Oh, Barbara.
Are we going to talk about Christmas?
Dan. Go ahead. How many of them got your tree up? Don't raise your hand. Oh, my. Christmas. Well, we can, if y'all want to. I've been working on something else, so y'all got the floor. Amen. If I'm not mistaken, everything that you see during Christmas time represents some kind of foul deed that was done years ago. Go ahead, Donna.
Yeah, actually, I'm sure you guys know this, but Jeremiah 10 talks about the Christmas tree in the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's chapter 10, and it starts 10:3. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with a hammer that it move not. And then it goes on and says, they are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. 7. Who would not fear thee, O kings of the nations? For to thee doth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. And then it talks about 8, but they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. And then so forth. But yeah, that's actually talking about the Christmas tree, and it's the of the heathen. It says, because in 2 it says, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. And then 3 is the customs of the people.
Amen. Yep. So, how many of y'all have heard of miracles happening on Christmas Day? Y'all remember the one in World War I, I believe it was, when the Germans and the Americans were fighting against each other. But on Christmas Day, a German guy, Christian apparently, got up and started singing Silent Night. I believe it was Silent Night. And then some American got up and sang with him, and then the whole bunch of them got up and they sang Christmas Carol for a while. Then after that, they went back to killing one another. But for a day, it was a miracle that that happened. Like talks about a time in Christmas. That's what I was looking up here. A young man that was heard about Christ and heard the deal about it. He had called for the America or the whites to come pray for him because the Lord had showed him in a dream that he would be healed on Christmas Day. And they went and prayed for this young man, leprosy. He had leprosy, bad, and God healed him completely on Christmas Day. Wonderful story. But as far as Christmas, celebrating Christmas, we don't celebrate it here. Haven't since I've been here. We do get together at times on Christmas, not all the time, but a lot of times we get together just to fellowship. Listen, anything comes up here, we try to get together. I tell you, it's just a good fellowship. You know what I mean? Yeah, Donna.
So I do the same. When I raised my children, we did celebrate Christmas. And then as God gave me more truth, for many, many years now, I haven't. But my children do with their families. And I do go just to fellowship with my children because everybody's off. But I don't have a tree and they all know that I don't celebrate Christmas. But I still go just for fellowship, you know.
Amen. So we're always week to the week, aren't we?
Right. And you know, you don't want to get into legalism either. So, you know, you can always share and, you know, share about Jesus and tell, you know, help them, you know, with situations and stuff. So.
Amen. Anybody else? We always, before I came to the Lord, we always get together and all my family that was out and about would come in on Christmas Eve and all the kids, the grandkids and stuff. And I would take them. We live close to this road that we live out in the country back in Arkansas, but we live close to this road called Bethlehem Road. And every house on that road for miles would put out either a manger scene or some kind of a scene for Christmas, you know. And people would just drive down there on Christmas Eve night just to see, you know, and tell the story of Christ and his birth, you know. And that's what we would do. We'd take all the kids down through there and just to see that stuff and tell them about Jesus. And a lot of people still do that. Yeah, Debbie. It's easier to hear you when you unmute.
Yeah, there you go. Is that better?
Yeah, much better.
Okay. So years ago, when our kids were little too, there's this place near where we used to live called Leonard's Ave, and did the same thing. The neighborhood got together. And they had the store, they had signs up. We'd go down the road real slowly. The kids would take turns reading the scriptures, the scripture in the Bible, from Luke of the Christmas story and everything in each yard. And was really kind of neat. And one of our kids, when they were little, would say, it was just called Leonard's Ave. Let's go down Leonard's Ave. One of them kept saying, can we go down Bethlehem Street? So when you say, yeah, Bethlehem Street, that was kind of neat. But, yeah, that was kind of fun too, but I'm amazed at what I've been looking up, and I have before, but I've seen even more now about all the customs and the pagan things that happened way back, you know, starting way back Nimrod and all these things that have unfolded up to now. And things are just, so the Christmas is just attached to all that stuff. And it's just amazing to me, like the Christmas tree that Donna read about in Jeremiah. And, you know, but back then God told them what not to celebrate and what not to partake of the customs of the, you know, the idolatries of the world and other nations, but they did it anyway. And now people are so, not into reading the word, knowing the word, they could hear the same thing if they did, because that's speaking to us too. And that amazes me too, that's what we did. We partook in those things for so many years. I thought, oh Lord, I just do not partake of the things of the heathen do. And we were doing those. Now they know what they are. It's like, oh my goodness. You just want everyone to understand, you know, because you know. But it's God's got to reveal it. But I thought it was really interesting, all the things I've learned. And I kind of a little testimony in that my one daughter, Hadassah, is really against me because of it. Very angry and hasn't been talking to me. And I've just been praying for her. She even moved. I didn't know they moved. Didn't send her address. I sent Christmas cards, nice kind, not Merry Christmas stuff, but nice things to the kids. And they went to the old house, which is good. That's okay, because they've been very, very, very sick and haven't been able to finish their move. And I think that God has been using that and softened her heart. So I've been able to, when I found out she was sick, I called her and, she called me back today, and she was just acting like nothing had ever been wrong. And just, I'm just so glad. It was answered a prayer too. I prayed that at the meeting the other night, and God, he's really moved. Anyhow, he even touched them in their healings. So I said, Odessa, I pray this meeting, our meeting, that God would just do a mighty work, a quick work, and turn around. And he did. There's just two of them that are still battling it pretty badly. That's Brad, her husband, my son-in-law, and one of my granddaughters. But, they're coming out of that sickness. But, anyway, he did an amazing thing. It's such a relief for me, because it's such a burden on you when, I give it to the Lord, but still it's such a burden to have knowing she was against me like that, knowing I had to maybe be cornered to say, you know, say something I didn't know what to say and all that, you know, just so many things. But God lifted that one. I've just got one more daughter who won't talk to me. That's Gloria. But, otherwise, other than that, it's pretty good. God's been doing his work. So, and I know it's only God that can reveal it to them. But, and we have to do the praying, though. We got to pray that God will show them. God will cause them to see that in the word. And that part about the nail at Christmas tree, I thought, well, we did that. We would get pieces of, you know, pieces of wood and hammer and nails. And we're nailing a support there for the tree in the, we already had in the little tree stand. But gosh, we did exactly the same thing that God said not to do all those years. But now we know. So I just pray, Lord, that our family members who've been told things here and there, Lord, they would get in the word and know, God, what your word says not to do, Lord. So many years we didn't know. We just didn't know. We just thought that Old Testament was just for them way back there and not for us today. And God, it is, Lord. And I just pray that you will just cause curiosity to build up in our family members and other people we pray for, and just other people that know that we don't do Christmas, and they'd be curious, and that you'd somehow lead them to the word, God, or lead the right people to them, that would cause them to be curious to get into the word and see what your word says about this, especially those who really love you and are just really deceived, Lord, and just really ignorant and don't know, as many of us were. So Lord, I just thank you. You're going to do that. It has to be you to draw them and give them that desire, Lord, to want to find out what you have to say about this, Lord. And I think you're going to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father, for waking up our families.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Does anybody know where Santa Claus came from? And don't say Coca-Cola commercial, because that ain't right.
I did read that too, but I don't remember what it was all about. But way back thing, it was from way back.
I like Claire's answer, the North Pole. Player, quit.
That's funny.
I don't know where Santa Claus came from myself. I know I told my grandsons, I said, ain't no little red fat guy in red PJs bring you presents. That's your papa. And don't you never, ever forget it as long as your eyes is open. That created a storm. Amen.
Well, not that you spend a lot of time looking on YouTube, but it's on there. I found that story too, and that's pretty amazing. There's a lot of things on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Well, how did Santa Claus come about?
I don't remember what it all said. I really don't. Okay. It was a lot to it, but
wait a minute, Barbara, how do you get Santa Claus from St. Nick? How does that happen? That ain't nothing looking like it. I'm just asking it. Now, I'm from Arkansas. You got to tell me. Barbara. That's what they call it. What do they call it?
Isn't his name Saint Nick?
That's no, it's Santa Claus. It's Santa Claus.
The Santa Claus's real name is Saint Nick. There's a story behind it.
Saint Nick dresses differently than Santa Claus. It's two different.
I don't know. I don't know all that. That's just what I heard. Anyways, I was only kidding around.
I don't know. I don't know either. I'm not real sure anybody does. First time I saw him was on Coca-Cola used to use him a lot.
Yeah, right. Who really cares? You know, I mean, that's my thoughts with Sam. Who cares? You know?
That's what this subject is about.
I know. I don't have an answer. I'm going to bow out and be quiet here.
Anna says, Saint Nick is a European version of Santa Claus. I don't know if I believe that. I've seen Saint Nick pictures from Europe, and he don't look a thing like our Santa Claus. Has anybody else got a revelation on that? I see a lot of interested people here. Isaac says he knows who Colonel Sanders is. Amen. That's a good one. Go ahead, Nick. Saint Nick.
Sometimes you can find them on wrapping paper.
Amen. Wrapping paper, Santa Claus. Yep, you sure can. Praise God. Saint Nick or Santa Claus, Nick? Which one?
Santa Claus.
Okay. All right. Yep, you sure can. He's all wrapped up in something, maybe.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, I heard a story one time. I don't know how accurate this was, but it was something about, it was a long time ago, something about some guy was writing a story in the newspaper after the war and kind of lifting spirits up, and he came up with this story of this guy dropping off a gift to a soldier or something like that. I don't even know. But it was something about the newspaper, some article in the newspaper to lift up spirits, and that's kind of some, I don't know. I don't know if that's accurate or not. That's all I've got.
I vaguely remember something about that. Yeah. You just jarred my memory. I vaguely remember a story about that. But that's about it.
It's always the fake news. What do we do? What do we do?
Yeah, I know. What about the reindeer? Where'd that come from? The flying reindeer. Rudolph. All the bunch. What are you doing there, Nick? You got all kinds of funny looking hats, don't you? You got chickens on your head. Oh my gracious. Is that a chicken on top of your head or a buzzard?
Antlers.
It's what?
They're antlers.
Oh, antlers. Oh, okay. Okay. You look like a reindeer. All right. Well, this is an interesting subject, Junior. All right. Anything else we'll talk about? Hey, I got a question. I used to have a question. Let me find it here. I have a question for everybody. What? Now you have to think about this. I know what the answer you think is going to be, but it's not. What is the greatest event that ever happened in the Christian life, in the Christian era? What is the greatest event? Now think about it. Yeah, Andrew.
To answer that, I would say it would be the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ as the greatest event for Christendom. But yeah, I was going to just, on the old topic, was going to say, it makes you kind of wonder what all the people who aren't Christian, when they come to this country, think, what's all this stuff about Christmas? You know, like these little trains, blow-up trains and snowmen and Santas. You get these reindeer. I went for a walk and there's this solid gold painted reindeer. That's a really nice reindeer too. You know? And what's that got to do with Christmas? You know, you get all these wreaths on the door, you know, and some of them are just all glued together pine cones with Christmas balls and stuff. And, you know, if Christmas, or they know it's for Christianity, they associate, but how does it, what do they think of all that? You know, like, what is this guy with the 8 reindeer and a sleigh? You know, is that in the Bible? You know? So they must get really confused about that. I mean, with Easter, they would recognize the cross and stuff. You know? And but with Easter, you know, they would also bring this lamb in, you know. Like some cultures, they bake cakes in the shape of a lamb for Easter. You know, they used to do that in Poland, and there was quite a few Jewish people in Poland too. So they must have wondered, why are they taking a lamb to church? You know? But I'm sure they knew about that too. So anyways, it makes you wonder, you know, like the children would ask questions like that. Like, why do they have a lamb, Mom, if you were Jewish, you know? And so it's just interesting on how people would formulate all these decorations. What does it really have to do with the Bible and Christianity? What is that? You know, because they come over here and they're told that we're supposed to be Christian nations. You know, and they soon find out that if they have a conversation with a real Christian, that none of these nations that they were told were Christian are Christian at all. And I remember I had a discussion with one and I said, no, Canada is a pagan nation. And he wouldn't believe me. And no. But I didn't want to go too much with it because he was becoming interested in one of the churches here in Canada. So, yeah. a massive amount of words attached to something that really don't have any meaning. You know, and I've read what was written on the site, one of the letters there, and it talks about how the people celebrate Christmas, and they it's so commercialized now that, you know, they don't get what they want. They get angry. At the end of the day, when mom's doing the dishes, she goes, "I'm glad that's over."
Yeah, that's true.
And then the next day they go, "Oh, I can't wait till next year. I'm going to do it so much better." And, you know, and it's a commercial use. It's putting your eye off the Lord and just on all these gifts and stuff. And I don't think a lot of people do enough charity or stuff like that on that day. And I think because of COVID, they're not going door to door with a bag to give to the food camps here in this building. They did it every other year. So I think the food, where they give food to the poor, there's going to be a lot less of that. Canada anyway. And the grocery store would always hire one of the city buses, and people would buy bags of food and just fill it. And they didn't do that this year either. So it's just kind of sad what's going on, I think. Because there's some good things that you can attach to it, you know. And usually people go out, and I see them, you know, we have some street people here. And then some of the people would be really happy to go and give some cash to this person, whom they would pass by every other day during the year. But this month, they would be extra special with that kind of stuff. So I sometimes wonder if they would be more open this time of year, and just a little bit before Easter, too, to the gospel. But some of these people who do these good deeds, they don't really know their salvation. Many a Catholic don't know their salvation, or Russian Orthodox people. It's probably the same percentage as you would have Christians in Iran, where the whole population, 2% might know their salvation and have a good understanding of it. It's a rarity. And these people are thinking they're going to save all of them. And it's like, that's all they get is the salvation message. And then they just sit down and they don't bear any fruit. They don't have overcoming ability when you don't bear fruit to overcome. As it says in 1 John 5 and 3 and 4 and 5, overcome is mentioned 3 times there. And it's whatsoever. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's not you're born again or regeneration. That's bearing fruit. And overcome is said 3 times in verse 3 and 5 there, 1 John chapter 5. And you have to bear fruit. You need to be in the fourth land of the parable of the sower. And all these words, you know, it's just another word game. Every word spoken, every word read, every word heard, and every word that pops into your head has a spirit attached to it. And it could be good or evil. That was one of my foundation ideas that I soon saw when I started coming to UVM. It's sad, you know, like I remember going to work and there was a guy older than me there. And, you know, he thinks he's a Christian. But I asked him, I was just curious what he would say. I said, can you give me a definition of your soul? And he just thought for a couple of seconds. You know, and he's in it. I was in my 50s. He was a few years older. He retired a few years before I did. And he didn't know. He said, to laugh it off, he said, "Oh, it's the bottom of your shoe." And I went, "Oh, you know." Because, you know, you want them to either say what it is. Sometimes they'll give you the dictionary definition. Oh, I looked it up in the dictionary. They got the word church wrong. So, and that's my Webster's. So they got it wrong. It's a good reference, though, to the way they define church over there. They will definitely not get the kingdom of heaven correct in the church. And church is wrong, too. So, and so it's kind of sad. You got a 50-year-old person can't relate to what his soul is. And, you know, I'm sure you ask people about their soul, to how to relate to the soul, or how give a story or some sort of parallel as to what their soul is. Not too many people can say what that is, you know. It was one of the first things they taught when I started coming to UVM, because he was teaching about the spiritual temple there. So there's a lot of words that have no attachment to the Lord. And some Christmas stuff, I think, is so very vague that, like, you can have a person who says, "Well, you know, you put a Christmas tree up and you're cutting the tree off, and a man is likened to a tree," and they say, "That's a good likeness of that, because the tree is cut off from the earth and it's put in the little stand of water." They start trying to spiritualize the Christmas tree. They put fruit in it. They put stars on it. They put angels in it. I don't know what you'd get out of the popcorn chains, though. We used to put popcorn chains on our trees when we were, and then all you'd have left is the shred. All the kids go up to the tree and go, eat all the popcorn off the dredge. and we used to have a lot of homemade decorations for that, and we would go Christmas Eve for our tree, so we would only get it for $2 because the next day no one's buying any. So, but other than that, you know, you hear of things, you get the people with the candy canes, they try to spiritualize the candy cane, the white stripe, the red stripe, and what it means. And the cane is something you use for herding sheep, and you can grab them with the hook part. They fall in a pit or something, and fish them out with that. But, you know, still, you know, and if it's so important, how come, you know, sometimes they've done something clear across Canada, just in front of Easter and in front of Christmas. They would pass, I think it was, I'm not sure if it was Christmas or Easter, but just before it, they passed the abortion law, you know, and then 2 weeks later, it was going to be Easter. That's cutting it close, you know what I mean? Like, it's just so ludicrous and crazy. And well, anyway, that I just said my piece there. I'm sorry, Michael, I can't even remember your question that you were getting into. And I think I said enough. And as for the insomnia, I'm working on that myself. But if I have to battle all night, I will battle against these items.
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
Praise God.
Yeah. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I think the difference is between we are Christians and then the other group is like sinners. So, okay. We believe in Christ and the others don't.
Okay, yeah. All right. That's a great simplified way of doing it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Nick. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, with what Andrew started out with, it reminded me of an experience I had. Years ago, I worked for a lady who was Jewish. And I don't remember, I don't know what prompted her to say this. I don't know if it was during Christmas time or whatever. I don't remember. But I remember her scoffing about the whole Santa Claus thing, saying that it's horrible teaching your children, you know, basically the gist of it, to, you know, I don't remember what all she said, just teaching them to believe in something that's not true, you know, or whatever. And she was shocked when I agreed with her wholeheartedly. And I don't remember if I got into anything else about Santa Claus, I mean, or Christmas or whatever with her. But at the time she was married to a man and had two kids to him. And I'm pretty sure that they celebrated Christmas, but she scoffed about the whole Santa Claus thing. So that was just, you know, my experience with that, with, you know, a Jewish person. When you think the all these other religions, you know, like the Jews in particular, you know, they, you know, to me, that would be, you know, the whole Santa Claus thing, and specifically would be a deterrent, I think, to people wanting to know more about Christianity, knowing that they teach, they're, in a lot of them, you know, have this make-believe Santa Claus that takes on the character, you know, giving, you know, characteristics of God. He knows when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake, you know. So you better be good, for goodness sake, for crying out loud, you know. I'm just saying. But it's just, it's crazy. So anyway.
Amen. Go ahead, Patrick.
So I know this came up last week, or yeah, last week when you mentioned it, and I got to thinking about it. And I know that the whole Christmas holiday, it varies in different degrees of stupidity and emotion and whatever. And it's almost like it means to certain people certain things. They attach a certain meaning to it. I mean, and a lot of, you know, I can tell you what the business community of the world attaches to Christmas. That's the 3 days of the year where you come out of the red into the black, you know, and that's where your whole financial and economic future lands, and it becomes a success, is in those week or 2 weeks around the Christmas holiday. So it has become a commercialized whole thing where they're taking advantage of a sentiment and a mentality, and of course riding the gravy train. And then there's other aspects of that holiday that you know, you bring families together, and, you know, if you can make it through the fighting and yelling and screaming or whatever, there's a, you know, projected image of you know, giving to others and all that sort of thing. But anyway, so it's almost like the it's kind of like the world's view of Christ. The world still thinks that Christ, you know, they have two visions or two images of Christ. It's the little baby in the manger, and it's Jesus on the cross. Those two images. And so the world wraps all their belief in Christ in the gospel on a couple images. One of those images happens around Christmas, the other around Easter, obviously. So I think the thing that I was thinking is that the important thing for me to grasp in that time is to sense what that person, not sense, but just to be sensitive as to what that particular person or individual, what they attach to that. What is the meaning? Is this a time of coming together and, you know, being with family or whatever the attachment is? There's a sense, emotional connection to that. Believe it or not, I was thinking about that. It is that really the view of Christmas and the holiday and what is really at the roots of it and what the devil has used it to in the process of deception and whatever. What has to happen is that there has to be a change in people's hearts to be able to reconsider and consider what that whole thing is. And I was taken, I went over to a scripture. I'd like to read this story just, because it kind of illustrates in a way what I was thinking. And this is the story of Naaman, who was the captain of the army of the king of Aram. This is back in Elisha's time. Well, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he had leprosy, and his boss, I think it was the king or something like that. His servant was a slave from Israel or something like that. And this slave said, or the maiden, she said to, Naaman or Naaman's wife or something, why doesn't he go to Israel? There's a prophet in Israel and he could heal Naaman. And so there was a whole thing that happened, and basically word got to the king of Naaman. Naaman was a captain of the Syrian army. Word got to the king, and the king sent word over to the king of Israel and said, we need to send a man over there and get him healed. Of course, the king of Israel flipped out, you know, like, what, who am I, God? Well, anyway, the point being is, matter of fact, instead of paraphrasing this, I'm just going to read it. Verse 4 of 2 Kings 5, it says, Naaman went in to the old master, saying, thus and thus spoke the girl who is from the land of Israel. Just told about the prophet in Israel. Then the king said to Aram, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, and now as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sending word to me to cure this man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me. It happened when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel and who tore his clothes, that he sent word to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood in the doorway of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger to him and said, go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored to you and you will be clean. But Naaman was furious and he went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his God and wave his hands over me and the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them to be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. Then his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And the Lord showed me at a previous time of this reading that why didn't Elisha say, just dip in the water? But he said, dip in there 7 times. And there's something to that perseverance and that obedience and that, you know, the lessons that we are learning even as the testimonies of late. But anyway, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And when he returned to the man of God and all of his company, and he came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know there is a God in all the earth, but in Israel, so please take a present from your servant now. That pagan captain, his heart was changed. Which is the point that the Lord was showing me. His heart inside changed. And he said, but now I know, please take a present from your servant now. But he said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will take nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Naaman said, if not, please let your servant at least be given 2 mules load of earth, for your servant will no longer offer burnt offerings, nor will he sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. Not sure what the mules or the load of earth was for, for some sort of sacrifice or whatever. I'm not quite sure of that. But anyway, said, however, in this matter, may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon your servant in this matter. And he said to him, go in peace, So he departed from him some distance. And then there's another story. The point being that the Lord gave me was Naaman's heart changed and he viewed everything totally different, including what didn't bother him before. He went in, he had to go into the house of Renan or the apostate system or whatever you want to say, the pagan worship or whatever. And he had to bow down and hold the king's hand basically through the thing. And he asked mercies of God that he would pardon him, even though he was participating in this thing. He would pardon him because his heart was for the Lord Jesus. Now, I know that's a thin thread, but and so I'm just going to leave it there as to what the Lord showed me on it, and I believe that we're in an environment right now. I mean, had the Lord not taken me for the last 40 years through a religious system where people are caught in that, and the only way that they will come out, they will be released from that beast deep state system, is if their heart changes and God gets a heart hold of their heart and changes their heart to be pulled out of that system, just like every other idolatry that is splattered all over this world. So anyway, I think that's all I wanted to say. I ran my mouth too much.
No, that was good. That was good. All right. Anybody else? I remember last year, it was last year, I was Ace, and my great-grandson was at the house, and I was home, I think, for Christmas. And they all came out to the house, and he opened up his presents out there. And I was amazed at how he did it. He would open them up, take one look at it, put it aside, grab another, open it up. As soon as he got it open, put it aside, went to the next. I think that was a spirit on him. And it was amazing to me that's the way we do. You know, I remember my kids coming up doing the same thing. It's a spirit. We want to bless our kids, but anyway, okay. Anybody have an answer to the question that I asked earlier? Anybody remember the question I asked earlier?
Can you ask it again?
If I can remember, Pat, I will. Yeah, just a second. What is the greatest event in Christian history? And it's we're talking about Christian history here. What is the greatest event? Yeah, Donna.
I would say Jesus dying on the cross for our sins.
Okay. That's great, but that's not the greatest. That is absolutely great. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, Debbie.
I'm thinking the birth of Jesus.
Well, that's great, but that's not the greatest. Yeah. It all. Okay, Julie, go ahead.
Creation, all that God created from the very beginning, you know, and thought it out, and just inclusive of everything, you know, the.
I'm talking about Christian history.
Christian history.
Yeah. No, that's okay. That's all right. That's quite all right.
Christian history,
which would be the last 2,000 years.
I'd say it'd be the coming of the Messiah.
Okay, that's great. That ain't the greatest. Think about this. Think of it this way. Why did he come?
Save us.
How?
He became our sin. He took our place.
That's not what I'm looking for.
I give up.
Okay. All right, let's see what Patrick says.
I'm going to have to bow out because I was thinking of something history in the future. So I'm going to have to bow out.
Well, it's the event that happened in the first century after Jesus died. Now that gave it away.
The resurrection?
No.
Okay.
Y'all keep on.
I'm on the edge of my seat, Michael.
Okay. Missy, you have to put up a yellow hand. I can't see your hand like that. Go ahead, Missy.
Sorry. I don't know. I'm gonna say Day of Pentecost when the Lord poured out His Spirit.
Why would you say that?
Because you gave enough. You let us along for.
No, why would you say the Pentecost? You're on the right track.
Because it gave power to us to do what Jesus did.
Okay, you're close. You're close. You're getting there. That's it. That's it. The Pentecost is the greatest event that happened in the Christian life simply because He gave us Himself inside of us to be able to look like, act like, and talk like Jesus, bear the fruit of Jesus. And that's the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is the greatest thing that happened. Now, you have to say that it wouldn't have happened unless Jesus was born and died on the cross. But the greatest single thing that happened was the day of Pentecost, because now He can make a bunch of Jesuses spread out all over the world. Yeah, Andrew. Is that what you was going to say?
No, I was just going to say He saved the best creation for last, which is us.
Yeah. Amen. But I didn't get that on my own. Don't think I did. That came through John Lake. That was one of his sayings. And it had to been the greatest, because now all these Jesus should be out there spreading the gospel with the power and the signs and wonders of Christ following. And we're going to see that shortly. It's going to be an awesome experience for many. Go ahead, Benita.
Well, and without the Holy Spirit, Christ wouldn't have been born. So He was right there even before. And He was the biggest thing of all right from the beginning of Christ. So yep. He's it. He wins. Yep.
He poured out after the ascension and resurrection of Christ, didn't he? Because Jesus said, I'm going to my Father and I'll send the Comforter to you.
Well, just that even that he, I mean, just the Christmas story, you know, that the Holy Spirit came unto Mary, and that's, you know.
Yeah.
That's the birth of Christ was through the Spirit, so.
Yep, that's exactly right. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, one of the random verses I got on my Bible app was 2 John 1:9. Whosoever goes on word and abides not in the teaching of the Christ hath not God. Who abideth in the teaching the same hath both the Father and the Son. If any come unto you and bring us not this teaching, receive him not into your house and give him no greeting.
Messy in public.
Oh, this is the verse I wanted.
What are you saying?
Well, no, wait. Let me read this. 2 John 1:7, for many deceivers are gone forth into the world, that they that confess not Jesus coming in the flesh, this is the deceiver and the antichrist. That's my point. It points right to what you were just saying about Jesus coming in us. And I looked at the commentary on this from one, and they didn't get what it was saying. They didn't get it, because it's not come in the flesh, it's coming, it's present tense.
Yeah.
So.
And once you know that, you can see it all through the New Testament, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, Rian, yes, you can. You can debate that. Won't do you any good, but go ahead.
No, that's all right. I'm out.
Good. All right. You're going to get off some time this week? Be able to go home?
Yeah, I'm finishing up on Friday. And then we've got a whole bunch of public holidays in between. So I'm only back on the 3rd of January. So I've got a
couple of days. Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
All right. I bet the household is too. Praise God. Okay. Yep. How about you, Pat?
Good weather here finally, as you can see some sunshine behind me there. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward
to
spending some good family time together.
Praise God. Awesome. Is it springtime over there now or down there?
It's summer, so we
summer
full into summer now as of when, Claire? A few days ago only. it's strange. So what happens is that we get sometimes the weather coming from the Southern Ocean, like from Antarctica, come up. So it snowed here on the mountains over Christmas a couple of years. So you never can fully get comfortable saying that it's summer. But it's getting warmer now. It's definitely warmer now. January and February is when it's really good weather, when it's the best weather here.
Okay.
We had snow on the mountains just 2 weeks ago. After a long, long time of rain.
Yeah, you get a lot of rain down there this time of year.
Yeah, we get rain probably about... It averages about 280 days of rain a year.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
There'll be just times where you just look at the weather forecast and it just says 100% rain for as far as you can see, just for the next 7 days. So it's easy to be the weatherman down here.
Oh my! You're going to love it here in Tennessee, I guarantee.
Nice and warm.
Okay. Yeah. Warm and dry.
Yeah.
Okay, Isaac. Go ahead.
Hey, bro. Yeah. All righty. Yeah. So John 16 is really good when it talks about the Holy Spirit and the Comforter, you know, because he says multiple verses throughout it, he shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall declare it unto you. And all things whatsoever the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he taketh of mine and shall declare it unto you. You know, I wrote that down in my Bible, that the Holy Spirit is there to help Christ be formed in us. And I tell you what's really cool. If you read on through, you'll see the word joy so many different times in the word, right? I'll read just a few. Verily I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. He shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy, right? And then it talks about a woman in travail. And then it says, and that woman, when she is in travail, have sorrow because her hour has come. But when she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And then he goes on talking about joy a few more times, but this one's really strong. Hitherto have you asked me nothing in my name. Asking you shall receive, that your joy may be made full. The real cool thing about joy in that is the word is chara, C-H-A-R-A. Now, if you put a C-T-E-R on there, you'd have character, right? That's that nature, character, and authority. And that is derived. Character is a derived Greek word. And I think that's exactly what it is, the chara. I don't know if it's derived from character. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But, man, it sure does seem pretty, it points to the right direction. Anyways, that his character may be made full. That's that hundredfold, right? And so I thought that was really cool when I was looking into it. And, I mean, that's what it's all about, but that's all I had to say.
Amen. Amen. I'll tell you something that Lake said about being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. If you do a study on the Holy Spirit, now I just started with, you'll find out some amazing things about tongues and what it's for. He said that tongues was the making of his ministry. The making of his ministry. And he would speak in tongues. What he would do, a lot of times he would go out and walk and pray in tongues. And on the way back, he would ask the Lord. And the Lord told us, I forget what verse it is, but he said, if you want to interpret your tongues, ask him. And I think it's in, well, I don't remember. I better not say. But anyway, he'd ask the Lord to interpret his tongues that he had just spoken. And on the way back, the Lord would interpret it, and that would be his sermon for that night, that evening. The Lord would give him the sermon from what he spoke in tongues. And one time he came across some Italians that were talking. And he had a love to spread the gospel. And he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, I sure would like to understand and be able to talk to these men. They were speaking in Italian. He didn't know nothing about Italian. And the Lord said, you can. So he went over there and started talking tongues to him. And next thing you knew, he was talking Italian to him and understood it and gave him the gospel. That's just a portion of the Holy Spirit, but a big portion of it. That's why, remember what Paul said? Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. And there's a reason behind it. It's for self-edification, he said. What does that mean? That's building your holy faith up. To believe that you could do the thing. And I'll tell you something else tongues does. It gets you, it gets the spirit, the gifts of the spirit working also. They found out through some scientific experiments. I believe Lake did this years and years ago. And they found out that when you speak in tongues for 30 minutes, that would increase your immune system 30%. that's amazing in itself. So if you speak in tongues for 100 minutes, you've got 100% of your immune system taken care of. And that means you can walk in divine health. And if you do it 100, if you do it for 2 hours, guess what? You got some left over. You can give somebody else. You see? That's just me. Anybody else got anything on baptism of the Holy Spirit and how it should be working in our lives? When we got baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's not the end of it. That's just the beginning. The Holy Spirit in us opens up the whole new realm of our walk in Christ. Everything that Jesus did on earth is available to us. He said, I have given you all the blessings of heaven available to you. Go ahead, Pat.
This is kind of kind of a question. I know I've read, I think the example, the story of Smith Wigglesworth, and he had the experience of, he got saved and was, you know, preaching the gospel and working, you know, Christian work. I don't remember exactly what it was. But he was, you know, preaching services and whatever for about 10 or so years. And it came to a point where it is after that, he actually was baptized in the Holy Spirit after that process, kind of a secondary. And that's when his ministry or his life was really changed at that point. And so I guess my question was, did John G. Lake have the same experience?
Oh, you ought to read about it. Yeah. You ought to read about his experience that he had. He had been crying out to the Lord. He had already been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But he knew that that wasn't all there was. And he kept crying out to the Lord for 1 year. He'd be walking down the street crying out to God for more. Lord, I know there's more. Please, God, give me more of you. I need you more than I need myself, because I want to do the love that you have for these lost people. I want to see it myself. I want to experience it myself. And one day, his friend came and got him and asked him to go with him to go pray for this lady that had rheumatoid arthritis. The Lord had told him some months before. He said, I'm going to give this to you on this certain day. I don't remember what day it was, but he said, this will come to you in this certain day. And that was this day that he went with his friend to go pray for this lady. And he said he was sitting in a chair while this other man was on his knees praying for this lady's knees, older lady in a wheelchair. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, heaven opened up and this rain, it felt like rain. The glorious rain just permeated, just came right straight through my body. And he said, it was like electricity just enveloped my whole being. And he knew that he had the power of God and he had the love of God. And he said, he knew that if he went over and laid his hands on that lady, that would be too much. So he went over there. Hey, Ben, he went over there and just touched her with his finger on the forehead. And the power went from him through the lady and knocked his friend plumb across the room. That's the power of God. And he said he could get in front of thousands of people. And what was happening, he'd get up close to them and he'd get up close and be praying for them. And when he'd get close to them, it'd knock them back. It'd knock them back. It'd knock them back. And he'd knock them back. And he said, Lord, I don't want to do that. I'm going to knock them down. The Lord said, well, step back. So he stepped back. And when he did, it still, they would just crumble in a heap instead of just knocking them back. They just crumble in a heap. And of course, when they got up, they were healed, completely healed, completely healed. Thousands he did that way. And he also had the ability to go in a hospital. And he could go in there, and if he touched someone, he knew instantly he could diagnose what was wrong with him. And he did that for a long time. He would go in there and he'd tell the doctors, they say, what's wrong with him? And he'd grab their hand and he'd say, well, he's got this or he's got that, or whatever it was. And he'd be spot on. And he did that until he got to playing with it. He'd be doing experiments with it on what he could do. And the Lord took it away from him. He explained it. He took it away from him because he got to playing with the gift of the Spirit. You can't play with the gift of the Spirit. And you know, and I tell you what, I had to repent from being flippant with the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Don't do that. God does not like that, being real flippant with the Holy Ghost. And he showed me that. The Holy Ghost is God. That's God. That's part of God. And he's there for a purpose. That purpose is the power and the love of God and the wisdom of God that you have, each one of us have. We just hadn't explored it. And I'm as guilty as y'all are. But I have made it my business to start seeking him with my whole heart rather than being when you do like Lake and give it all to him, don't want yourself, you don't want Michael, you don't want Pat, you don't want Andrew, you don't want you want Jesus. We're going to see what God wants to do with us in a miraculous way. You go read about the old saints of old. Every one of them that walked in that love of Christ cried out to. And we're in a time now where it's beneficial to us. He'll do it that quick rather than have to wait a year. He's going to do it that quick. But he wants to see your heart change to want him more than you want yourself. You know, and that's what we have to unlearn is self. And we do that by keeping our eyes and our minds on Jesus all the time. I'm learning myself. I wish I had experienced everything that these guys have, but I'm looking for it though. I'm going to run after it with all my heart. There ain't nothing matters right now than Jesus. You can affect your whole family by doing that. People's lives depend on us knowing who we are in Christ. And that's what I'm finding out through this little study on the tongues and the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Ann Rutter.
Thanks, Michael. I was just wondering if you could sort of give a small explanation on what it means to be flippant with the Holy Spirit, please.
To be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit?
No, no, flippant, you know, like to sort of.
Oh, flippant.
Yeah.
Yes, please. What, here's one that I've heard a lot. Let me think here just a minute. Have you got the spirit, man? I'd be flippant with God's spirit. Have you been baptized in the spirit, man? This is God we're talking about. And I've done this so many times that I am ashamed to even say it, being flippant with it. And I have confessed it to the Lord and asked his forgiveness for it because I didn't understand what his job and his nature, character, and all of those things is for us. What it means to us is Jesus in us. That's what it means. Being flippant is joking. You know, I used to say, well, I'd use my Holy Ghost shotgun, which is talking about the shofar. That's being flippant with the Holy Spirit. I've had to repent of it. And I don't mind telling you because I don't want anybody else to do it. I'm ashamed of it, of course, but we all flip off the road there every now and then. But God is merciful and gracious, you know. Praise God he is too, because I'd have been gone a long time ago. Yes, I'm right.
Thank you. I think I got some correction as well last week. I was reading the Bible and got to the part where it says, when Jesus says that the Spirit is the Spirit that proceeds from the Father. You know, like it's his Spirit that proceeds. And I was asking about like being over keen to practice in the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, everybody can. Everyone can, you know, the healing and everyone that you know has the Spirit can do it. So it's I'm not saying it's anything special, you know, prophecy or casting out demons or anything. I'm just saying like I was really keen, you know, to sort of, oh, if you're struggling, you know, this can and that can and I was asking, you know, Lord, where have I been wrong? Because you know I just so desperately want to see people free. You know, sometimes when you hear someone's story and you're really moved, or you can see what's, and then you get really moved. And it was about the intentions of my heart, because it wasn't just about that. It then became something else where I said to be like almost a mother hen and that's sort of the Holy Spirit's job. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts, you know, it's the Holy Spirit that does everything anyway. It's not, you know, I could yell till I'm blue in the face and nothing would happen. It's the Holy Spirit that does it. And that awe that it is the Spirit that proceeds from the Father. It's the Spirit that comes from the Father. It's God's Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, you know, the awe around the Spirit. And even if he's gentle and he's kind and he's also powerful. And yeah, so yeah, I suppose I confess as well that In ways I think I'm not able to very well articulate, but I have been flippant with the Holy Spirit. And I repent for it. Yeah. Thanks.
Amen. And it's something that we try to joke about, and it's really not a joking matter. That's what I've learned anyway. Yeah, hallowed is that. That's right. He's holy. But to get to your point about working in the gift, the Lord's in Timothy, where he says, stir up the gifts in you, stir up your spirit in you. Yeah. And how do we do that? Praying in the spirit, stir up the spirit in you. And then you can prophesy. How do I prophesy? You speak in tongues, you pray in tongues, and then you just start speaking it. That's the way you do it. You just start speaking what God showed. Well, he don't show me nothing. We'll start speaking it anyway. If you're praying for somebody, say, I'm praying for Patrick. I'm praying for Patrick to get more of God. Then I start speaking it. I start prophesying about him. He is a man of God. Glory to God. You know, that way. Start that and watch what God does with you. That prophetic gift will come on you.
I would encourage everybody to do that.
Of course you would. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, my. And that goes with all the gifts. The gifts of healing. What's the gifts of healing? Putting your, laying your hands on people, praying for them, commanding that sickness to go from them. We all got it. All the gifts are available to everybody. My goodness, is it so kind quick, of about up?
Quick question before we leave then. Michael, you're talking about speaking in tongues and stirring up the gift within you. How does that relate to John G. Lake's, you know, second experience or this, you know, apparent refilling or whatever, Smith Wigglesworth, his life totally changed after receiving the Spirit. Well, he was speaking in tongues before that, I'm assuming, correct?
No, not
Smith Smith?
No, he wasn't.
Okay.
No, he wasn't speaking in tongues until he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was later on. I'll tell you something else. I went for a year seeing people healed when I prayed for them, and I didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I just knew God healed because I got healed, and I was walking around with a guy that knew that, you know. I kept seeking the Lord for it. Once I got baptized in the Holy Spirit out there in the shop, man, that changed everything. I knew right then when I put my hands on somebody fixed to get healed. And that was exactly right. And it's still the same way today. I knew when I pray. I know when I pray. Everybody here ought to know when you pray, God's going to answer. As many times as we've seen God do the things in this fellowship. And nobody in here got any more or less faith than anybody else because Christ is in us. We all are filled with the Holy Spirit. All right, I think we're out of time. I'm sorry for talking so much, but I tell you what, I get fired up when I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and God doing the things he's doing in each one of us. How many of you know since we've all been together here that we've changed? I have. Lord God, I have. Praise God. Well, Lord, I just praise you and I thank you for filling us all up with your Holy Spirit and Lord, teaching us to speak in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit more and more and to keep our eyes and ears on you, Lord, and to want more of you and to memorize and to look at the fruit of the Spirit all the time, because that's what you want us to do. The more of the fruit of the Spirit we have, the more of the gifts of the Spirit we'll do. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for all of us in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that everybody here that gets off of work for a little while this week will have a great time of joy, peace, and rest in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for that. Ben, you off a little bit this week, this coming week?
I got 2 weeks off in a row.
Oh, man. That's like vacation.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm on call.
You ought to come down to Tennessee. Oh, you're on call, huh?
Yeah, I'm on call, fortunately.
Okay. Well, all right. God bless y'all. I love you.
God bless you.
And we'll see y'all Thursday. Amen. Hey, that's Praise and Worship Night, ain't it?